Hi, you're listening to Radio Lux Lucid. I'm your host, Steve Matthews, and today is Saturday, September 24th, 2016. Thanks so much for listening in. This is episode number 11, and the title of this episode is Immigration, Citizenship, and the Bible, Part 3, Donald Trump and Immigration Reform. As you may be aware, if you've listened to some of the last few podcasts that I've done here, what I'm actually doing is I'm paralleling my podcasts along with some of the articles that I've been writing on Sundays on the blog. Right now, the series that I'm working on the blog is a series on titled "Immigration, Citizenship, and the Bible," and hence the name for this, the title for this podcast, for this episode. I finished part three of the series last week, and this is also podcast part three, dealing with immigration, citizenship, and the Bible. So, in the third installment of my immigration series, I actually took a look at Donald Trump and looked at some of his ideas with respect to immigration. What I plan on doing tomorrow, Lord willing, I intend to get out a post that addresses Hillary Clinton's approach to immigration. So we have a chance to maybe do a little side-by-side comparison between Trump and between Clinton and some of her ideas. So what did we have to say about Donald Trump? Well, in the blog piece last week, what I did is I actually split it basically in two, and I talked about Donald Trump the good and Donald Trump the bad, because when you look at his overall immigration stance, there are some really good things in there, and there are some things that, well, maybe aren't so great, and I wanted to talk a little bit about those today on the podcast as well. So if you go to Donald Trump's website and you take a look at his platform, what you see is when he's talking about immigration, he actually puts out what he calls three core principles. And the first of those is a nation without borders is not a nation. There must be a wall across the southern border. Now, the second core principle, he says, a nation without laws is not a nation. Laws passed in accordance with our constitutional system of government must be enforced. And number three, a nation that does not serve its own citizens is not a nation. Any immigration plan must improve jobs, wages, and security for all Americans. And I really focus mostly on that third core principle, the idea that a nation that does not serve its own citizens is not a nation. I think that that's really an excellent statement. In fact, it's one of the best statements that I've heard from anyone on the subject of immigration. And when I say anyone, I'm not talking just about politicians. I'm talking about even people who are, say, policy type people, think tankers, that sort of thing. That's really a very good statement, and it contrasts very favorably to the way in which immigration is usually discussed. Usually immigration and, you know, related issues such as migration, refugees, those sorts of things, it's always discussed, it seems like, in the American media, as though somehow immigration is this duty to bear. It's your job to take immigrants. You have no say in the matter as an American. And when these people come here, they have a right to come here. They have a right to go on government assistance, on welfare. And if you say anything about that, well, then, you know, you're quickly accused of being a know-nothing or a nativist or a bigot of some sort. And that's usually the way the quote discussion about immigration is proceeds. There's usually not much of a discussion at all. It's you people just need to sit down, shut up, and take your beating. that's generally speaking the way most politicians address immigration, and even the way most academics that write about immigration seem to write about it. That it's this duty to be borne by Americans, and they just have to submit to their duty. And Donald Trump comes out here and he says that a nation that does not serve its own citizens is not a nation. And he says here that any immigration plan must improve jobs, wages, and security for all Americans. And I think the fact that he talks about for all Americans is important. One of the things sometimes, too, when people talk about immigration, you know, I mentioned the fact that a lot of times immigration is presented as this right. Basically, everybody in the world has a right to move to the United States, and the American people have an obligation, a concomitant obligation, to pay for it all. So everybody has a right to come here, and you have an obligation to pay for it, and you have no say in the matter. That's one problem with it. Another problem, and this is something that's highlighted here in Trump's statement, is the fact that an immigration plan should be a benefit, not just to a special segment of the American people, but to all Americans generally. You know, that it's not about serving special interests, it's about serving the public welfare. I think we'll use that phrase from the Constitution. Now, the public welfare, of course, doesn't mean welfare in the sense like entitlement handouts. Public welfare just means in the constitutional context anyway, simply just means the well-being, the well-functioning of the Republic for everyone's benefit. But you know, a lot of times people, when they discuss immigration, it seems almost a foreign thought, almost a new idea, that immigration should be a benefit. You know, it's always presented as this duty that Americans must bear, this obligation that Americans must bear, these costs that Americans must bear. And Donald Trump presents this as he says, no, you know, that immigration, you know, immigration is a fine thing, but it also has to serve the interests of the American people. And he goes on and he talks some about a few other things. I guess the other, I wanted to say, you know, that was an excellent statement. I'm talking here about Donald Trump the good. The other thing that Donald Trump says in his position on immigration, and I think this is really outstanding, is his call to end birthright citizenship. I'll just read you directly what his website says. It says, end birthright citizenship. This is part of Donald Trump's immigration platform. This remains the biggest magnet for illegal immigration. By a 2-to-1 margin, voters say it's the wrong policy, including Harry Reid, who said, no sane country, quote, no sane country, end quote, this is Harry Reid speaking, would give automatic citizenship to the children of illegal immigrants. So what is birthright citizenship anyway? Well, Harry Reid kind of defined it to us, defined it a little bit there for us. He said that no sane country would give automatic citizenship to the children of illegal immigrants. The way U.S. law is interpreted, and this goes back to the 14th Amendment of the Constitution. But the 14th Amendment of the Constitution was passed in order to ensure that the children that were born to slaves who were freed after the Civil War would be considered American citizens. And this law has been interpreted also to apply to anyone who is born in the United States. What that means from a practical standpoint is that, with a few exceptions, if a mother is in the United States and has a child within on U.S. soil, on U.S. territory, that child is considered an American citizen. Now, that's what's meant by birthright citizenship. Let me read you the 14th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. It's actually pretty short. Here it is. Quote, well, no, that's not it. Bear with me just a moment here. I'm actually going to get the 14th Amendment in front of us. This is Section 1 of the 14th Amendment, and this is really the part that matters. Quote, all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States in the state wherein they reside. And end quote. Now, of course, there's more to the 14th Amendment, but that's really the main point, the main point of at issue here. And the little clause that has caused some controversy over the years is the clause where it talks about and subject to the jurisdiction thereof. And there was a ruling, I believe it was in 1982, that said that the 14th Amendment, in that idea of the jurisdiction thereof, applied to people who were in the United States illegally as well. So say if someone comes up from Mexico, a woman crosses the border and has her baby in a San Diego hospital, for example, that child is considered an American citizen. Sometimes that's called an anchor baby. And this is birthright citizenship. So even if a foreign national has a child on United States soil, the child is considered an American citizen, and that child becomes then eligible for all kinds of welfare, of public entitlements. And as you can imagine, this is a huge magnet that draws people to the United States. In some cases, there are people who cross in illegally. For instance, people maybe who cross over from the Mexican border. Now, of course, not everybody who comes in via Mexico is a Mexican. There's a lot of people who come from countries that are in Central America or maybe even South America, but certainly Central America, that come up through Mexico and into the United States. And when if a woman from one of those countries has a baby here, well, that baby is considered automatically an American citizen. One thing to keep in mind too is the scale of what goes on. Some numbers that I got, and I quoted these in my blog piece from last week, but the Center for Immigration Studies indicates that between 350,000 and 400,000 children are born annually to an illegal alien mother residing in the United States. And that totals up to as many as 1 in 10 births in the United States nationwide. So about 10% of the babies that are born in the United States are born to mothers who are in the United States, residing in the United States illegally. I mean, the scale of the problem is huge. And I don't have any figures in terms here immediately at hand as to how much that costs the American taxpayer, but that has to be an enormous cost. And Trump wants to end birthright citizenship. That's what he says, at least in his policy statement that's out on the Trump for President website. And I do provide a link to Trump's immigration position there within the article as well. So those are two very good things. I mean, Trump puts forward the idea that that a nation should serve its interests of its own citizens, and that immigration policy should be conducted in a way that benefits Americans. Again, that seems pretty common sense, but that seems to be lost. That very simple idea seems to be lost in a lot of politicians, as well as people who formulate immigration policy, maybe intellectuals or scholars or even people in, say, the journalistic profession. A lot of times don't seem to understand that very simple point. And then the second really good point that Trump brings up is ending birthright citizenship. I think that's an excellent idea. And in fact, I would say ending birthright citizenship is absolutely key, really, to doing anything effective about immigration going forward. I'm going to come back to that thought a little bit here in a minute, but that is a critical portion or a critical component in the U.S. Having an immigration policy that actually does benefit the American people. Now, moving on to Donald Trump the bad. You know, I mentioned there are a couple of really good points that Donald Trump brought up about immigration. Then there's a couple of points maybe that, or at least one point that's not all that great. And of course, the point that I'm going to mention here that I don't think is all that great is actually Donald Trump's signature issue. And if you followed American politics at all over the last year or so, you're probably well aware of what that is. And of course, I'm talking here about the wall that Donald Trump proposes to build along the U.S.-Mexican border. Trump hasn't. Trump's not one to go small. He's one of those guys. He's going to go big or go home. And what he has proposed is something that's pretty audacious. Kind of very Trumpian sort of a thing. And what he wants to do is he wants to build a wall along not just part of the U.S.-Mexican border, but the entire length of the U.S.-Mexican border, which I believe is somewhere in the range of about 2,100 miles. Now, he's not the first one to propose that idea. That idea has actually been floating around out there for a long time. Some people have pointed, say, for instance, to the state of Israel. Israel has erected border walls between itself and, say, some of the Palestinian settlements to keep keep the Palestinians out. And some people have pointed to Israel and said, well, this is something that we ought to emulate here in the United States of America. I don't think, in my opinion, that a wall is really all that great of an idea. I provide several reasons why I say that. First of all, I quoted a comment that John Robinson made. This was actually a comment he made in the question and answer session at the end of one of his lectures. John Robbins didn't write a lot on immigration, really didn't comment much on immigration. Gordon Clark, to my knowledge, never did. So there's not a lot of scripturalist data to go on when we're trying to formulate a scripturalist immigration policy. But we do have this statement here by John Robbins, and I think this is an important clue in terms of helping us formulate eventually what I hope is to be a statement of a scripturalist immigration policy. That's really ultimately the goal of this series on immigration, citizenship, and the Bible. But here's what John Robbins says. He says, quote, "We can keep out criminals because they're evildoers, but other than that, there should be no restrictions on immigration. It is not a legitimate function of government to decide where people will live," end quote. Now, of course, the purpose of the law is, or the purpose of the wall is, to a large degree do that. It's to separate the United States from Mexico and prevent people from coming into to the United States and prevent them from living here. And it's a really attractive idea to a lot of people. And actually, I can understand why people would support the wall. We've had decades worth of fairly major immigration problems. Some of this goes back to the 1965 Immigration Act. It's an act that's been in law for over 50 years. And there's been a lot of frustration on the part of the American people because there doesn't seem to be any types of controls on immigration. And in fact, the immigration policy of our country seems to some people, and I think that there's some truth to this, that the immigration policy of our country actually works counter to the interests of most Americans. And nobody seems interested in doing anything about it. Here Trump comes along and he proposes this wall. And it's a very attractive kind of a thing. You know, the idea, hey, we're going to put a wall up there that's going to keep people from just traipsing into the country. And, you know, that's going to be a great solution. For my part, I'm not really very keen on the wall. I don't think the wall is going to be effective. I don't think it's right to do it. I believe that the biblical stance for immigration is that we should have open immigration. But that comes with some caveats. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that. I don't want to get into that too much right now, but just talking here about some of the other potential problems. You know, apart from the fact that putting up the wall is really interfering with immigration in a way that I don't think is correct. Putting up that wall, it really does send, I think, in some ways, an ugly message to the rest of the world. You know, the U.S. has long had a reputation as a welcoming nation. I think that's a good thing. And when you put up that wall, basically what it's telling people is that, you know, you're not welcome here. And it's telling people, I don't think it's going to be perceived very well. It's not going to make the U.S. look good, I guess maybe is what I'm trying to say there. Another reason that I think that the wall is a problem is that I think it's going to be a distraction. You know, there's been a lot of political capital spent discussing the wall. There's been a lot of focus on the wall. There's probably going to be a lot of money spent on the wall if it actually does get built. And I think all of that really detracts from some things that are more effective. You know, I mentioned before dealing with the birthright citizenship issue. That really is where the focus ought to be, and not on the wall. But if we're going to focus on the wall, and this is something that Donald Trump has decided to do, it's going to make it difficult to do anything about birthright citizenship. And I really think it appears that that whole issue is being pushed to the back burner by the Trump campaign. A fourth objection that I have to the wall is the idea that I don't think that in the long run it's going to accomplish its stated goal of reducing illegal immigration. As long as the immigration magnets, the magnets specifically for illegal immigration, remain in place, and there are two main magnets, there are two main things, you know, apart from jobs, that attract people to the United States. One of those is welfare benefits, and the other one is birthright citizenship. And those two are really closely related, because if somebody is an illegal immigrant, that person does not have the right to apply for welfare. However, if there's a parent who is illegally in the country, and that parent has a child who was born in the United States and is an American citizen, that is, if the parent has an anchor baby for a child, the parent can claim welfare benefits on behalf of the child. So there are some tremendous benefits that immigrants are capable of realizing just by having a child. So if you don't get rid of the welfare state, and of course, you know, the benefits to the anchor baby are not the only one. For instance, you know, the federal government mandates that that states must fund medical care, emergency medical room care, for anyone, regardless of that person's immigration status. So, I mean, the immigrants also, the illegal immigrants also get to have free medical care in some cases. And there are probably many other benefits as well, but those are two that come to mind. The ability to request welfare benefits for an anchor baby, medical benefits, and probably some other ones as well. I would suppose. So there are two of these big magnets, these big social program magnets. You've got welfare type benefits, and you've got the birthright citizenship that draw people to the United States. And it's far more important, in my opinion, to eliminate birthright citizenship and eliminate the welfare state than it is to go about building a wall. As long as you still have those big draws, the welfare benefits, the anchor baby, the birthright citizenship, if you build a wall, I don't care if you build it 100 feet high, people are still going to find a way to come into this country. You know, maybe they'll do it by boat. You know, maybe they'll just sail around the wall. You know, I don't know. People can be pretty creative when they want to be, and I don't think that putting a physical barrier there is going to stop people from taking advantage of the free goodies. As long as we continue to put free goodies out there, we need to get rid of the incorrect incentives is what we need to do, and we need to focus our political capital on that, not focus it on the wall. Fifth, another reason, and this is something that I thought of as I thought more and more about putting up the wall, but the wall, I think, likely would become a rallying point for social justice warriors. It would become an easy target to protest. It's visible, it's big, and you know, what if you've got people out there, these social justice warrior types, you know, out there laying down in front of bulldozers and being dragged off by the cops and things of this sort. That creates, as they say, bad optics. And I think it's the type of thing that could very well serve to undermine the will of the American people to do something about the current immigration problems that we have. And we do have problems, and these problems need to be addressed. And I just think that, that doing that will create an opportunity for the social justice warrior types to disrupt the whole process. Another problem with Trump's immigration policy is that he calls for E-Verify. According to his website, that the simple measure E-Verify will protect jobs for unemployed Americans. Well, so what is E-Verify? Well, E-Verify is really a national ID card. It's your right to work papers. And anytime you would go in to apply for the job, you would have to show probably a card of some sort that would have your picture on it. You know, it's a national ID card. Right now, there's no national ID card. And a national ID card is, that's kind of police state-y. You know, that's a police state sort of a thing. And I personally don't want to have to show my papers when I go in and apply for a job. I mean, Social Security numbers are bad enough, but at least they don't have my picture or possibly other biometrics, you know, fingerprints or retina scans. Now, the national ID card, the E-Verify cards have been proposed are picture only, but of course I don't think there's anything that would stop a future government from also requiring fingerprints on the national ID card or maybe a retina scan or some other type of biometric. So, you know, you've got this problem of creating a national database on people and really, you know, what I would consider to be an invasion of privacy. So I have a problem with E-Verify. There's a writer here, in fact, I have a quote from him. He says, quote, that a biometric database represents, quote, a huge step toward a permission slip society, end quote. Well, you know, I don't know about you, but I left permission slips behind when I was in with elementary school, and I certainly don't want them following me here into adulthood. You know, in another issue that one could bring up about the wall, and this is something that Ron Paul has talked about, but he's brought up the issue of the fact that not, you know, walls can keep people out or maybe make it harder to get into the country, but it can also make it harder to get out of the country. You know, and what happens if, say, Americans want to leave the country for some reason? Maybe we have some really oppressive police state, something much worse than what we have right now in place. Maybe people want to leave the country, exercise their options just to go. Well, I mean, you've got this wall, Berlin Wall style barrier separating the U.S. from Mexico. Now, you know, when Ron Paul said that, some people have dismissed it, and I admit that maybe seems a little bit far-fetched right now, but, you know, I don't think it's something you can completely dismiss. I think that it's at least a consideration, and I think it's something that, you know, in addition to some of the other problems with a wall, it's certainly more than enough to make me say no. So with Donald Trump, just to sum up his position, he's got a couple of really good ideas. Number one, that immigration policy should serve the interest of all Americans. Number two, he's called to get rid of birthright citizenship. But then he's also got this problem with the wall and also E-Verify as well. So there's some good, there's some bad. It's kind of a mixed bag. Coming into to next week, what I, Lord willing, what I want to write here tomorrow, this would be part four of the series on immigration, citizenship, and the Bible. I'm going to take a look at Hillary Clinton's immigration program, and we're going to talk about that. Her program, just to kind of give you a preview, her immigration program is a complete disaster. I mean, with Donald Trump, you can say there's some good, there's some not so good, and there's at least something there, though, that I think is of benefit to Americans. In Hillary Clinton's world, immigration is just a complete disaster. There's really not anything about her program that's at all beneficial to most Americans, and we're going to talk about that. I'll write about that tomorrow, and Lord willing, next week we'll have a podcast to talk that through as well. So thanks so much for listening. I really do appreciate that, and I will we'll talk to you again next week.